Have you enjoyed listening to the CrowdPaw Leadership Podcast? Are you looking for a way to support it? Maybe you just want some swag. Get some CrowdPaw merch today. We have shirts, hoodies, sweatshirts, hats, and so much more. Go to CrowdPaw.org/merch, CrowdPaul.org/merch. Looking forward to seeing your CrowdPaw look.
At the end of the day, we are a business. You work for a business. Whether you're working for yourself or you're working for a corporation, either way, you need to find a way to make money. Like, if you're not making money, then it's not really a business. It's just more of a hobby, and it's fine. Hobbies are great,
but you need to just understand the difference between a business and a hobby. Turn this up.
Your professional development is one of the keys to your career success. When you combine your desire to grow with actionable steps, your journey to success becomes an incredible reality.
Hi, I'm Paul Ferrandi, aka CrowdPaul, and welcome to CrowdPaul Leadership, where we learn how to become the most incredible versions of ourselves by learning from each other. First off, thank you for listening to this episode, but a reminder that you can also watch this episode on YouTube. So you can stream it on YouTube. New camera setup, so check that out. Excited about that. Finally did the upgrade. I've been wanting to do it, but I just finally pulled the trigger, so you can check it out. Looks a lot better, a lot crisper, as my brother would always say, a lot crisper. But whether you're watching or listening to this show, thank you so much for your support. It's because of people who listen to it, watch it, give me feedback that I'm able to continue doing this. But in this episode, it's a solo episode, so I'm going to be talking about really navigating your career, navigating your job. And it came about from some recent coaching I was doing from someone who was newer in their career, but realized a lot of stuff that are stuff that's new in your career, new into your job, out of college, is similar things that you need to do when you are also transitioning jobs. And for me, I recently transitioned jobs at the beginning of this year. So I talk about it sometimes, depending on which episodes you catch. But in addition to what I do with CrowdPaul, with the podcast and the nonprofit, shout out to Knowledge STEM, I also work full-time as an engineer. So you may ask, Paul, how do you do all of that? Well, that might be an episode for another, that would be a different episode. And I've talked about it before, about prioritizing things and how to shift things around. But I have a lot of stuff going on. I work full-time as an engineer. I work as a senior R&D process engineer for Mars Incorporated. And so basically how of their headquarters in Tennessee. So that has been exciting. But then it's also been new. So learning a new company, learning a new systems, new way of doing things. So some of this stuff, I think you'll be able to resonate if you recently transition, or if you're just in a new job, or maybe you're thinking about a new job, things you can be doing. I will also say these are things you might want to be doing in your current job to be successful, because at the end of the day, we want that successful rating. We want that pay increase. We want to go out to the next level. We want to continue progressing our careers. Maybe you're fine with where you're at, but I feel like a lot of people want to continue to progress and grow. So if you're trying to progress and grow, navigate your career effectively, this episode is definitely for you. So with that, let's just dive in. I think the first thing as you're coming in is figure out what onboarding looks like. And I know when you hear onboarding or training, it can look different for every company. I know some companies are more robust than others. They have better systems in place. Others, you kind of just learn on the go and you have to reach out to different people. But that is something that you want to be clear about as you're coming in. So really, maybe the first day, I would actually, before the first day, be asking the question, what does onboarding look like? And actually, this is something I tell people to ask during the interview process. What does onboarding look like? What does success look like in the first 30, 60, 90 days, first full year? Depending on what level you're coming at, they might want you to hit the ground running, which is fine if you're okay with that. But just be mindful of what you are actually okay with that or not. Some companies, one day they got running, some companies will ease you in. I will say the companies that want to ease you in my experience, have the best cultures and they want to make sure you're successful. They're not trying to drain you and take everything out of you right away. They want to make sure it's a win-win. So be mindful of that for sure. But figure out what onboarding looks like. Like I said, onboarding can look like just being paired with someone, having a list of people to reach out to, or it can be a really structured training program. As someone who has worked in the CPG space, consumer packaged goods space, in manufacturing, a lot of times onboarding, you have to go through all the different safety trainings, which might take a full week, a few days, a couple of days, however much time you're going to take to knock them out. So be mindful of that. I know there's other office safety training you have to take regardless of the companies that you're in. But I think just from being nature, being in manufacturing and working in labs and all these different types of equipment, there's additional training you have to do. So that's something to keep in mind. As you actually dive into these things, you want to make sure you understand what your business priorities are. So some companies have like maybe their goals, their business strategies. Like some other companies I've worked at, I think a current company we talk about our OGSMs, our objectives, our goals, our strategies, our measures, all these different things. And that's pretty standard across the board. Like different places I work, I'll talk about objectives, goals, strategies, and measures. And so you want to understand what that is for the overall company, like what are they focused on? But you also want to know what is your priority within your department, and then even further from your department in within your manager as well. Because some departments, depending how your company is structured, might be bigger or smaller than others. So maybe your department is just you and your manager. I think most time it has multiple different managers and the director over a department. So understand how you play into that role, asking the questions to make sure that you can continue to be successful. I would say at this point, as you're coming in, let's say, like even for myself, personal example, came in, started in February. It's really spent the first week onboarding, training, all the different things for the first few days. And then I think that Friday was when I got assigned some projects that I'm going to be working on, like what the strategy was going to be as far as what we were trying to do. And then like even with my training, like what I really enjoy about the company I work for with Mars is that they're really people centric. And they're like, here's a list of people that you should know. Here's what they do. Go connect with them. Set up these connects one-on-one. And it's not just to just know their function, but also know them as people as well. So I think it's really intentional. We talk about, when I talk about the five levels of leadership, there's position-based leadership and there's relation-based leadership, knowing like what drives people, what people are motivated by. And I think a lot of times when we talk about five levels of leadership, you think about you have to be in a leadership title. And I don't think that is true. I say it all the time that leadership is influence. And when you don't have the title, which is only the first level, like you have to start at the relationship level, like understanding people, what they like, what they don't like, just even understanding if they have kids or not, what they're passionate about, what brings them to work every day. And so that's something I always talk to people about, like, what do you like? What do you don't like? And then here's the thing, and I'm kind of going on a tangent, but I'll come back, is that this is really key to networking, is that the networking needs to be others focused. Because I think a lot of times when we network, we're like, okay, what is it in it for us? How am I going to be beneficial? But you want to see how you can add value to the other person and just learn about them. So if someone is talking about something that I think the other day, yeah, I was talking to someone that he used to be a professional bull rider. This wasn't that work, but he used to be a professional bull rider. I was asking different questions about this, what he had done, what he experienced. Had a lot of crazy stories. Many times he almost died and he still kept doing it years after. Now he's doing photography, all these different things. But I think there's something amazing that happens when you're able to ask questions and learn from someone that's doing something that you've never done before. Because I had no idea what a professional bull rider was like. I didn't know the insane schedule, like how, well, I kind of knew how dangerous it was just from bulls are, they're pretty intense, large animals. But that's just a small example of when you take the time to get to know someone, ask questions, you can learn something. And then the next time I run into someone that's a professional bull rider, which I don't think there's that many of them, maybe there are, that's something I didn't get to know, like, what, how big is this community? Like, I'll have something to talk about, and it'll just make it that much easier next time. But coming back to this, really understanding your priorities, understanding like what your manager's priorities are, that is something that is really crucial, because I think a lot of times when I'm talking to younger professionals and even people who have been in the business for a while, is that we get caught up in what we're passionate about and what we want to do, and we're not always in alignment with our manager, while not in alignment with business goals. Which I think it's important to have your personal goals, personal objectives, what you're trying to do, but you need to figure out a way to make it line up with what the business is trying to do. At the end of the day, we are a business. You work for a business. Whether you're working for yourself or you're working for a corporation, either way, you need to find a way to make money. Like, if you're not making...
Are you wondering what's next? Has everything you tried failed? Or maybe you just feel stuck? Then coaching may be right for you. The coaching relationship is a relationship totally centered on you. So what are you waiting for? Go to incredipaul.org/coaching so I can help you become the most incredible version of yourself.
Making money, then it's not really a business. It's just more of a hobby, and it's fine. Hobbies are great, but you need to just understand the difference between a business and a hobby to make sure that you're actually going in the right direction. And what I will also say is, just because you're not making money right now does not mean that it's a hobby. There is a point in time when you are new to something and you're learning and you're doing different things. Like one of the first few times I've spoken, or maybe not first, first several times I spoke for free. Sometimes I still will speak for free. It just really depends on whether it's like virtual or in person, or if it's something I'm really passionate about, the organization. But I'm really intentional about the organizations I do speak for free, and then making sure it's mutually beneficial. So maybe I'm speaking for free, but I'm offering something, or I'm able to get people on an email list for like follow-ups or things like that, or just get in front of them to give them opportunity to know more about what I do and just build my brand. So it's all really strategic. But keep in mind that a business is there to make money, whether it's for yourself or for others, but how you go about doing it is a whole other thing. So with that, as you're trying to understand the priorities of the business, understand your priorities of your manager, she or he, what we're trying to accomplish, it is absolutely crucial that you set up regular one-on-ones with your manager. Set up regular one-on-ones. Ideally, if you have a good leader, good manager, they are already proactive in setting up those one-on-ones with you. But a lot of times what I see is that people will come to me or they'll ask questions about how to go about this. So like, their manager isn't doing this, their manager isn't doing that. Like, they don't have a great manager. And I would tell you that this is an opportunity to manage up or lead up. And I would say it's not always the easiest thing to do, but it's something I've done in my career a few different times, is if I don't have a manager that's as proactive or is setting up those meetings, having these conversations, I am leading with these conversations, whether it's what the next step looks like, what I want to do with my opportunities in my personal or professional growth, more so professional growth, because we're in the work setting. Like, what are the things I want to do? Like, either going to conferences, doing different leadership activities. Something I'm really passionate about is recruiting, especially diversity recruiting, whether that's going back to my alma mater, Iowa State, or to other colleges. Something I'm really intentional about, talking to my line managers, senior managers about, this is stuff I'm passionate about. How can we make this happen? And so fortunately, I've been able to get that done, but that's only because I have regular meetings with them. And I emphasize regular and not like a specific time frame, because it really depends on the nature of your work. So I will say that when I was first working at General Mills and I was in like the early career program, I would meet with my manager. I had like multiple managers, because I was a rotational manager, I had a manager of the program. But the manager that was in the specific rotation I was with, and I would meet with them weekly. And I would say, I think that's a key thing to start off with, really a minimum of weekly when you're first getting into a career, first out of college, because there are so many things that you don't know and so many things that come up. in the course of the week. And obviously you can have these one-off conversations, maybe have different chats in the hallway, things like that. But that should not take the place of a regular meeting set aside to talk only about you, your development, all of these different things. And I had a mentor, General Mills, that shared that with me, that you need to have regular meetings with your manager to make sure that you're aligned. So shout out to Jaylene Sauls. I don't know if she's listened to this. I haven't talked to her in a while, but I remember she gave me that advice really while I was earlier on at General Mills, to make sure I'm meeting regularly with my manager. Took that to heart. I continued to do it till now. So earlier on, definitely once a week. I would say as you progress in your career, biweekly is good. I got to a stage actually when I was at Purina, just for the nature of always traveling, and really things were planned out, and I was super, I don't know if independent or autonomous with the work that I was doing, as that I only really met my manager once a month. And I won't say maybe that's the best thing, or maybe they could have done it differently, but it worked out pretty well. And those meetings were just to share about, okay, these are the things I'm doing. These are things that are coming up. Do we need to shift things, change things around? And so I would say, like, these are just the regularly scheduled meetings. They're not the only times I meet with them. Sometimes there'll be before the pandemic, we're using Skype all the time, and now using Teams, like different types of catch up or different things come up, different projects you have to do. So that's a key thing to keep in mind, that regular doesn't mean that the time frame stays the same. It can change. And don't be afraid to schedule one-off meetings when you need it as well. You need to make sure that you're focused on your development. At the end of the day, like, there are leaders that are there that are really focused on your development. They want you to learn and grow. But I had a really good mentor tell me that you are the one that cares the most about your development. That he said that your mentor, your sponsor, I'm giving you opportunities. I'm telling you about different things. At the end of the day, you're the one that cares the most about your development. You need to be intentional about what you're doing, intentional about how you're preparing, asking different questions. And that's a key thing. So I didn't want to make this episode too long, so just wrapping things up. But really, like I mentioned, understand what your business priorities are. Understand what your department priorities are. Understand what your manager's priorities are. And understand what your priorities are. And so when different things come up, make sure they're aligned with your priorities. And then I think it's a whole nother topic about, okay, what if people are asking me to do things that aren't within what I'm supposed to be focused on? And that's something you need to align with your manager, your line manager, because at the end of the day, you're going to be graded, evaluated on the work that was in your PDP, personal development plan, professional development plan. And so you want to make sure the things that you're doing are reflected on there. And if it was not originally reflected on there, add it to your PDP. I think most companies are like, this is a living document. And there are some things I ended up doing with recruiting this year that were not originally on my PDP that I ended up adding, and we'll discuss that and show that you accomplished it. So I think it's really key that you make sure you're documenting the things that you're doing. So many times when I'm talking to people, I think it's a skill that you need to learn, because it's when you're interviewing, and then even with the PDP process, that you need to talk about yourself in a good light and share your accomplishments. This is no time to be shy. And I'm talking to myself as someone who grew up really shy, because you need to make sure that you are adequately showing the work that you've done. I would tell you that a lot of times you see people that maybe are not the most productive at what they're doing, but they are really good at highlighting what they've done. They might have not done a lot, but they're really good at talking about it. And that's the end of the day. Unfortunately, it's human nature, and the loudest person in the room is probably going to get the attention. And you don't have to be loud, but you do have to be intentional about talking about what you're doing, how you're achieving it, having those regular meetings with your manager. And even I would encourage you, like, your manager's manager as well. I wouldn't meet with them as often and make sure that your manager is okay with it, because you don't want to seem like you're going above your manager talking around them. But I hope this was helpful. as far as how you navigate your career or your job to be successful, to continue to be incredible. So make sure that you are setting up regular meetings, you're aligned with your business priorities, your manager's priorities, and make sure that even with the culture of the company itself, make sure it aligns with your values. Because at the end of the day, if you're working somewhere and their values don't align with your values, you're going to be miserable. But let me know if there's a topic that resonates with you. You want me to go deeper into this, specific questions you have. Maybe you want to learn about more about my journey. I know I've shared it a few different times throughout this journey with Incredible Paul Leadership. But I know depending on which episode you come in, you just might not have heard it before. So it might be new to you that I work full time as an engineer along with leading a nonprofit, as well as doing stuff with Incredible Paul on the podcast. And I won't even go into the stuff I'm doing with real estate and rentals now. That's a whole other thing. So a little teaser there, maybe I'll get into it at some point. But thank you so much for your support. Thank you for listening or watching. If you're listening to this, make sure you hit the subscribe link, whether you're listening on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Amazon Music, on YouTube, hit the subscribe button as well. And let's continue to grow, continue to develop, be intentional with what we're doing so we can be incredible.
Be sure to rate and review this podcast on your favorite podcast listening platform. We'll see you here next time. And be incredible. Incredible.
Have you enjoyed listening to the Incredible Paul Leadership Podcast? Are you looking for a way to support it? Maybe you just want some swag. Get some Incredible Paul merch today. We have shirts, hoodies, sweatshirts, hats, and so much more. Go to incrediblepaul.org/merch, incrediblepaul.org/merch. Looking forward to seeing your Incredible Paul look.